Before we get launched into the text this afternoon, I just want to remind you of a couple resources that I have prepared. The first are the sermon notes, and you'll see on the whole first side of this, I've got kind of carried away, and I put in some long quotes from the larger catechism, and there's a reason for that madness. The reason is that these quotations are so rich and beneficial, I couldn't help myself. So, at any rate, they're there, and I'm going to refer to them this week and next. So, I just want you to know that. And also, I have this more detailed study sheet on the fifth commandment that gives all the catechism questions and answers, plus all the scripture references, really good stuff. And so I commend these resources to you, and you'll find these over on the information table over there. Now, we're going to resume our study of the Ten Commandments today, and we come, of course, to the fifth commandment, which is, honor your father and mother. And in the first four commandments, we saw what they call the first table of the law. So perhaps you don't realize that when it comes to the Ten Commandments, there's two tables or two tablets of stone. And on the first side was the first four commandments, and those have to do with our relationship with our holy God. And every one of those commandments deals with our relationship to Him. Now, in the second table of the law, which we're just beginning today with commandment number five, that has to do with our relationship with one another. How do we treat one another? How do we treat one another as the people of God? Are we just like the pagans are? Do we just treat each other however our thoughts and our heart tells us to do? Well, no. God has given us some constraints, and He's given us a way of relating that actually produces great blessing. I mean, if you think about it just for a minute, what if all of the second table of the law were wiped out, were no longer applicable? What would this world be like? It would be a mess. It would be a total disaster. It would just be all sorts of selfish behavior, people doing all that they want to do in terms of their own hearts. And it would be destructive and wicked. And so God has given us this second table of the law for our benefit. So there would be order. So there would be loving, sacrificial relationships. And it all begins here, as Paul says, in the first commandment with a promise, as he quotes it in Ephesians chapter 6, with honoring father and mother. Now, perhaps you're struggling with that, and you're thinking, well, I don't know how to do that, Pastor. I've got difficult relationships with father and mother. Well, let me just confess to you that in my early Christian years, and I read that exhortation in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, I kind of teasingly said to myself, that's a part of the Bible I would take some scissors to and just cut it out of the Bible, because I didn't like those words. But as time went along, the Lord showed me the wisdom contained in this commandment, and also the benefits that came to me as I conformed my life to it. And so I just encourage you, if you're struggling with the how question, well, just hang on. We're going to talk about that in due time. How do you actually keep this commandment and live it out? But first of all, we have to deal with the what. You know, what does it mean? And what are the ideas that God has in mind behind this commandment? Now, we're going to look at a number of passages, primarily in the Old Testament. And we'll look at certainly Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20, but some other passages as well in the Proverbs and the Psalms that really give some practical teaching on what it means to honor father and mother. And then we'll look at some New Testament passages in Ephesians and Colossians that deal with the New Testament commentary on what it means to honor father and mother. Now, let me just say, as we come to the catechism, the larger catechism, that in the catechism, there are some statements there that I want to draw your attention to before we launch into the text. Look at question 124. It's question and the answer. The question is, who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? And the answer is, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in a place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. And what that's saying is, in addition to father and mother, when we look at the fifth commandment, the principle extends out to other people who are authorities over us. They're in a position of superiority over us. And so the confession is talking about how in our relationships, there's people who are superiors to us. There are people who are inferiors to us. In other words, we're responsible for their care. We're responsible for them. And then there are people who are equals. And we're all kind of at the same level. Now, in our culture rejects that philosophy entirely. Our culture says they want everything to be equal, that every gender is no different from anybody else, that in our roles we're no different from anybody else. And it's kind of a homogenous approach. And we see that as an offense to Holy Scripture, where the understanding that God gives us is one that there are superiors, inferiors, and equals. And it's important for us to know the difference and to know the relationships that we're in. Now, I've often commented that if you don't believe there are any superiors over you, well, then just violate some speeding laws, and then have the Lincoln County Sheriff pull you over and then talk saucily or angrily with that sheriff and see what happens. And you'll see that here's a person who is in a superior relationship to you at that moment by virtue of their office. And they have every right and responsibility to arrest you if you transgress the laws of this county. Now, it's simply illustrative to show us that there are all sorts of superiors, and every one of us has people who's over us. Every one of us. We may not like it, but it's one of those facts about life. We all have those relationships. And so keep that in mind as we get into this text here about superiors, inferiors, and equals. All right, well, let us hear the actual text of Scripture taken from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. This is what the Word of God says. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Those are the words that the Lord gives us. Now, what's the immediate context of Deuteronomy chapter 5? Didn't these same words get uttered a long time before, back in Exodus chapter 20? Well, you're right. They were uttered about 40 years before. And Exodus 20 is all the people of God had just come out of Egypt. They had been rescued by the Lord in a series of amazing miracles and deliverances, and brought to stand before the mountain of God, Horeb, led by Moses. And they're standing there, and the Lord gives them the Ten Commandments. And you know what happens after that. They fall into idolatry, and Moses smashes the stone tablets in his anger and disgust at the idolatry of the people. And the Lord very kindly gives him a second set of tablets. There's a recovenanting of the law, and then there's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, where that rebellious generation all dies out. And it is their children who have now been raised up, with the exception of Moses and Joshua and Caleb, those three who have been allowed to come to this point in that generation. And they're all standing there on the threshold of the land of promise, the land of Canaan. They're standing there on the east bank of the Jordan River, and they're looking up into the mountains, and they're thinking, oh my goodness, it's finally come to it, and we have to trust God. We're going to go into this land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and we're going to take it as God has commanded us to do. It's a scary moment for the people of God as they're thinking about all these things, and they're thinking, do we have the resolve and do we have the determination to trust God in the midst of all these battles, in the midst of all these enemies, and all these fortified cities? And so what does the Lord do? The Lord reassures them that He will never leave them nor forsake them. The Lord reassures them that He has given them a law. And if they are diligent to keep this law, then He will bless them as they go into the land. Now that's the context of why this law is being given a second time. It's being given so that they will learn the commandments and be careful to do them. We already saw that back in the first part of chapter 5, where Moses summoned all Israel and said to them in verses 1 to 4, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today." So those are the words that Moses uses to establish the context here. Now, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? What's the word mean? Well, the word in Hebrew is the word kabad, kabad. And it means a heaviness to the relationship between one person and another. Now, that's its literal meaning, but its typical meaning is the idea of showing honor and favor to another person. And so, God is saying that you are to honor your father and your mother. Not only your birth father and mother, but also your adoptive parents or father and mother, if that be the case. You're to honor those whom God, by His providence, has put into that role in your life. Now, what does it mean to honor, to show honor? Well, it means to show due respect for their authority. And I'll make the point a little bit later here when we come to Ephesians, that you are to obey those who are in that authority, especially if you are a young man or young woman and you're under the care and the support of your father and mother. You're to obey them as well. Now, I was reading in a commentary by Dr. Rushis Reshduni on Deuteronomy, and he makes this comment. He says, "Honoring one's parents is a very serious matter in the sight of God." And I thought, wow, that's a good statement. Why would God go to so much effort to put this commandment at the very head of the second table of the law? Well, because He thinks it is extremely important. And that's something for us to dwell on and to really ponder. Now, you are to honor your father and your mother. And there are many other places in Scripture that speak to this. Here's one of them in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to what it says in the Proverbs. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Well, those words are telling that the way you honor, or the way that you show honor, is to heed or listen to the teaching that comes from a father, and to care for your mother when she is old and aged, when she is infirmed. And we might say that that would also apply to fathers too, that there's to be a care that we show for fathers and mothers as they grow older. I've oftentimes told my young sons, as they've been getting larger, as they've been getting stronger, as they've been getting smarter, and I've said to them, one day, your dad's going to be weak and feeble. And even though he can out-wrestle you right now, you need to take care of him at that time. And that's really the meaning of this proverb. That's how you can honor, by showing due concern and care for aging fathers and mothers. That's one specific way. Here's another way. In Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Well, you know that you're doing the right thing, children, when your father and your mother are rejoicing over you. Over their proud, and over their love, and over their being happy and thrilled at how you're turning out, and the kind of things that are important to you, and that you're thinking wisely, soberly, seriously about life. And life isn't all about your selfish pursuits, but it's also about serving others. See, those are all ways that you can show forth the honor that you're showing to your father and mother. In contrast to that, consider this proverb in Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. So a foolish son or daughter who just goes after their own way and who rejects authority is ultimately proving to be a grief to his father and mother. And so the Lord is saying, don't go that way. For it not only will be a grief to them, but it will be bitterness to you. Now, I want to draw your attention back in Deuteronomy 5 to these words. Okay, look at verse 16 of chapter 5. I mean, just look at it for a minute. And let the words just pop right off the page. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Those are the words I want you to get. As the Lord your God commanded you. These words were not inserted by a group of parents who later wanted to control their children. These words were not inserted by some zealous rabbi. These words were spoken by God Himself. If there's any fear of God in you, will you heed these words? I tell you, that's what got my attention as a young man. And I began to realize it wasn't just sort of a smorgasbord approach of picking and choosing the different parts of the Bible I liked, but it was walking in sobriety and fear of God and realizing that He said these things, and I better pay attention, and I better heed His word. As the Lord your God commanded you. This law has not been repealed. This law has not been abrogated. This law has not been thrown aside into the dustbin of antiquity. This law is living and active today, and it cuts down through joint and marrow in the inner man, and it brings conviction to the heart. But it also blesses and helps us when we keep it. So these are powerful words. Now, I want you to see the two general promises that are given in the commandment. Look at these promises. The first is this, that your days may be long. Now, these are general promises. They're general promises based on the condition of your obedience. So if you decide, well, I'm going to reject this this commandment, well, don't expect the promises and the benefits to come, because they go together. And so the promises for a long life, that your days may go well with you, governed by the providence of God and all the various circumstances that are under His control by His decree, yet meaning that there is a length of days, there is abundance of blessing, and there is prosperity and growth. Those are all the things that the Lord promises in that little statement. That your days may go well with you, rather than the days may go ill with you. That the days may go well with you. And then the second promise, again a general one, in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, specifically to the people of God who are standing there, the land that He's giving them is referring to Israel, to the land of Canaan, where all those tribes are who do not worship the living God. God is going to give them that land, and the promise extends to that. But beyond that, we know from the book of Hebrews that our hope is just not in the physical land that God may give us here on earth. Our hope is also in heaven. And so when He says, in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, I believe that means that as you heed this commandment, the Lord gives much for you to receive from father and mother through inheritance, through hard work, through standing on their shoulders, all the different things that get passed on to you that are significant and blessed in your family, as well as the promise of living with the Lord forever in heaven. Now, the writer of this statement, which is Moses, who records these words, is not trying to suggest that your faith or your salvation comes about by law keeping. He's not suggesting that at all. And we see in Deuteronomy in the 10th chapter, what the Lord requires is that your heart be circumcised. And that's an impossibility for you to do or anybody else to do. How can you circumcise a heart? That's something that only the Spirit of God can do. That's an Old Testament equivalent to Jesus' words that you must be born again. And so the Old Testament, all the way through, Old and New Testament, is talking about the spiritual birth that God only can do in you. And so there's no suggestion here about works righteousness or being saved by the law. It's simply saying that the law is for your benefit, and you need to heed it for the blessing over many generations. Now, specifically, how do you do this? How do you do this? Well, let's go over to Proverbs now, having looked at Deuteronomy 5:16, and come to Proverbs 6. And here we see a really interesting series of Proverbs in Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. What does it say there? My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. And when you walk, they will lead you. And when you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the ways of life. Well, there's another verse I wish I could have snatched out of the Bible, that reproofs of discipline are the way of life. But unfortunately, it is true, isn't it, that we have to be corrected and reproved from time to time, yet whether we're children or adults, it all goes along the same line. We learn from our mistakes, we learn from our sin, we learn from doing the wrong thing and being corrected and being pointed in the right way. And that's what God does in His law. Now, why do you seek to honor your parents? You may not be inclined to do it. You do it because God promises to bless you, and God said to do it. God said to do it. That's the why. Now, how, we see in this passage a number of ways as to how you go about doing it. How, in this way, by observing or keeping your Father's commandments. That's one very specific way where you can honor your Father by hearing what He says and by heeding it. By going, oh yeah, I remember what my Father said. I remember what my Father told me to do and not do. I'm going to do that. That would be heeding the commandment of your Father or keeping it. Secondly, not forsaking your mother's teaching. Now, your mother has taught you many things. And she's taught you how to dress properly and how to comb your hair and how to keep yourself clean and what to eat and what not to eat and who to have as friends and who not to have as friends and how to drive and how not to drive and any number of different things. And all of that ought not to be neglected or forsaken. And so that's one way that you can honor your father and mother. Now notice the next phrase. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. What does it mean by that expression? Well, it means hold them close to your head and your heart. Hold them close to your head and your heart. Thinking about the things that your father and mother instructed you with. And in your heart, trusting them with obedience and also trusting them with wisdom, that what they've said is a wise course for you. They say also here, when you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. This is all a big Hebrew expression talking about in all of the different parts of life. The Lord instructing you through the teaching of your father and mother. I was thinking to myself, well, when could this possibly be when you lie down, they will watch over you? What does that mean? Well, the idea that you're able to trust in the preparations and the work and the diligence of your father and mother, and you can sleep peacefully knowing that your mom and dad have it all settled and your house is not going to burn down or there isn't going to be some other calamity and the doors are locked and those kind of things. You're able to sleep knowing that your father and mother are exercising due diligence over you. Also, through your conscience. It says, and when you awake, they will talk with you. How do the instructions and the commandments of your father and mother talk to you? Well, through your conscience. As it informs you and reminds you of, don't go that way, go this way. Those are all different ways that the Lord is at work. Now, let me ask a question. Is there a difference between honoring and obeying? What do you think? Is there a difference between the two? Slightly, yes, there is. Honoring means to show due respect and to show that respect throughout the whole life of your father and mother. And I'm going to argue next week, even after they are deceased, there can be due respect and honor shown to father and mother, to grandparents, to others who have gone and lived before you. And so that's one way that of exercising honor is showing that respect. Now, obedience is slightly different. It certainly means honoring, but it also means doing what was said and what you've been asked to do, those series of chores or those responsibilities or those kind of things. Now, the question comes up, well, isn't there a point in my life where I just don't need to obey anymore? Isn't that when I turn 18 or something like that? Well, let me just say that that is a completely arbitrary, artificial standard that's accepted by our society. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. You are obligated to obey your father and mother as long as you are a dependent of your father and mother. And I believe that means not only if you're still living in their home, but even if you're away from their home and you're a dependent of your father and mother. And so in that respect, the Bible says that if you're still in the home, you're still dependents, even if you're a young adult, you've not established your own home, then you owe obedience to father and mother. And when a new home is established and you've moved out, as it were, you're preparing yourself to be in a home, or you're being given in marriage, that's when the allegiances change. Now, honor is to be given throughout your whole life. Obedience is when you're a dependent in your own home or even away from it. Let me give you an example. When I was 21 years old, I was a student in college. And I lived away from my parents. And I had a roommate. We were the best of friends. His name was Jimmy McLarnon. We were very good friends from our high school days. We were also Christians. And we enjoyed living with each other a great deal. And one particular time, we had gone through the whole quarter studying very diligently. We had written several papers. We had all taken different tests. We had just finished a very hard period of study, and we decided we needed a big break. And so we had a whole week off from school, and we went all the way down to Los Angeles, where my friend Jimmy McLarnon lived with his family, or lived when he wasn't away at college. So we went to his house, and we got there, and we were looking forward to a whole week of doing absolutely nothing. We were going to sleep in. We were going to stay up late. We were going to go here. We were going to go there. We were going to see all of our friends. We were going to eat all kinds of great food. We were going to be totally selfish. So on the first morning, Jimmy's mother rousted us out of bed, and we were sleeping in. And he said, "Oh, by the way, Jimmy, I have all these things I want you to do. I want you to paint the bathroom, and the lawns need to be mowed. And also, some simple things need to be done, like taking out the trash and all those kind of things. And I'm so glad you're home. I've been waiting for you to do these things." And my friend was lying there in bed, and he simply said, "Well, Mom, the vibes aren't right to do that." What he meant by that is, "I don't want to do that. And not only that, I'm not going to do that." And so Mrs. McLarnon very sweetly said, "Well, I'm really glad you're home, but until you do things, there are no meals from my kitchen, and there is no food from my refrigerator. So go take care of yourself." Well, that got our attention. And as we got up, I discussed with Jim. I said, "Jim, do you think your mom really means that?" And he said, "You know what?" Kind of scratching his head, "I think she does." And so we both got busy, and we started by taking out the trash, and then we started mowing the lawns, and we started doing the other things that she had on our list, and we were amply rewarded the whole week with lots of wonderful food from the refrigerator and from the kitchen of Mrs. McLarnon. I bring the illustration up simply to say that there is a point when, as a young man or young woman, you are still dependent upon your father and mother. You owe them your honor and also your obedience. At that time, both in Jim's case and in my case, even though we were away at school, it was our parents who were making it possible for us to be away at school and who were paying at least 50% or more of the bills. We were dependents of our parents, and we owed them honor and also obedience. Now, let's look at a specific text in the New Testament that speaks to these matters, and that is in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ah, the very portion that I wanted to cut out with the scissors, but got left in. What does it say? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, says Paul, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, there's a parallel passage over at Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, where Paul says this: Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So that would be a parallel passage to the one in Ephesians. A little shorter, but the same ideas. So what does Paul mean by all of this? Well, Paul says here, children, obey your parents. Now, the words in Greek for children are ta techna, which means little children. But as I've already sought to argue with you or to show by Scripture, I believe that extends out to those who are still dependent in their parents' home or dependents in general, even if they're not living at home. They owe that obedience. So, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a right thing. Not only for your parents' sake, but for your sake, it's the right thing. Because as a young man or a young woman, you don't know all the different pitfalls, difficulties, and messes you can get into, but your father and mother generally do, because they're more experienced, they're older. And you know what? On top of all that, because they love you, and they don't want to see you fall into those pits and difficulties. And so, the children are to obey parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then we have the citation of Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. And then we have Paul's admonition at the very end, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, in the Ephesians 6:4 text, Paul uses the word paraogizete, which in Greek means don't become angry or resentful towards your children. In the Colossians text, he used the word erethizazete, which means don't become bitter or resentful or exasperate your children. What does he mean by this? And this specifically applies to fathers who have the primary responsibility in the household. And by derivation, I believe it applies to mothers as well, that mothers aren't to do this either. So what does it mean? Well, what it means is that parents are to be gentle, firm, and principled in what they do. They are not to be harsh, inconsistent, and out of control. The problem is that as parents, many of us weren't necessarily taught all that well in our own homes. So there's a bit of a learning curve for us as we begin studying the Bible, and we see how other people who are a little bit ahead of us have actually raised their children successfully, and we take a lot of notes there, and we humble ourselves, and we're down on our knees calling out to God and saying, Lord, help me, because I don't know exactly what to do. But Paul tells us here that we're to be gentle, firm, and principled in how we raise our children, and we're not to be harsh, inconsistent, or out of control. Now, specifically, it says what parents are to do, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So discipline is this word paideia in Greek. It's the word of instruction, training, teaching, discipline. And so in that very positive way, we're to seek to teach our children how to behave and what to do and what not to do. It's line upon line instruction. It's repeated over and over and over until they get it. And when there are problems, then we are to give instruction in the Lord. And that is the word nouthetesia, which means to teach or warn or admonish. And so that means that sometimes the rod has to be used. Or some various other means, like I'm not feeding you breakfast until you do these things, which was used for Jim and me. And so in all the various situations the Lord gives us, that doesn't mean that always the answer is discipline and punishment idea. But there's this building up of teaching and instruction that's lovingly given. Let me give you an example. One day, quite a number of years ago, I was going on a Monday to do some of the chores that I had. That Monday's my day off, and all the various chores around the house that I need to do often get put to that day. And there was one thing I needed to do, and that was to take some stain and to paint the fence in the back gate and the yard. Now, my wife Cheryl was away, and she was going to be away for a large part of the day. And we had, I believe at that time, 4 or maybe 5 children. They were all much younger children at that time. And they were in my charge. And I felt the responsibility keenly because I always appreciated what Cheryl did. And then when I had them all myself, I realized, wow, this is a lot of responsibility and a lot of work. But I had to paint that fence. And so I instructed my older children, Rebecca and Nathan, about how to keep everybody happy, the younger ones. And I got my bucket full of paint, and I went out to the backyard. And with my back turned toward the fence, my back toward the door, and my front toward the fence, I started painting it with this dark brown stain. Well, unbeknownst to me, up behind me came my little 2-year-old. Whose name I won't mention, but whose initials are PJS. And unbeknownst to me, my little 2-year-old started dipping his fingers in the stain. And my little 2-year-old, unbeknownst to me, started painting his face and his ears and his forehead and his arms and his legs. And when I turned around, when I heard a slight noise, there he was in all of his glory, covered with brown stain. And I realized myself, oh no! What's Cheryl going to say? Now, this was not a situation for discipline in terms of using the rod. This was, I had given no instruction in these areas. I didn't tell them to stay away from the paint. I didn't do anything. It's just in his curiosity, he was drawn to what his daddy was doing. And so this was not a time for discipline in that classic sense. This was not a time for nouthetēo, which is the use of the rod and admonishment. This was a time for paideia, for instruction. And it also was a time for the bathtub. And so I quickly ran into the house, got the water drawn up, and thankfully, I thank God that it was paint or stain that was water-based. And I was able to throw him into the bathtub and scrub it all off and not lose my temper and not be irritated and give some little instruction, lovingly given at that time, of keeping your hands out of Daddy's paint. See, all of that is simply to say that the answer for raising children is not always punishments or disciplines. The answer is they're both to be used in equal proportion. And they're not to be done in harshness and anger that's out of control or inconsistencies that confuse our children. But they're to be done in gentle, firm, and principled, loving ways that build them up, even when the rod is used. And so these are specifics about what we're to do and what we're to not do. Now, I can see time-wise that I'm going to leave off here at the third point. And that is one of the benefits that come. There are benefits for children. There are benefits for parents when we heed the fifth commandment. But there also is the promise of a long and productive life. And that's where we're going to pick up next week as we come to the second half of this sermon. Let me say as well that I want to labor to show next week when we come to the text of how, as a result of obeying and heeding the fifth commandment, there can not only be strong families raised up, but a strong church. And not only a strong church, but also a strong nation when this particular commandment is heeded. And I want to show you that by Scripture next week as we come to it. Now, lastly, in closing, how do you begin honoring, obeying, and doing the things you ought to do as parents? How do you do it? Well, just a threefold admonition. We'll go into more detail next week. It begins with repentance. When you acknowledge to God that you have failed in some of your responsibilities, either as a child in honoring and obeying, or as a parent in disciplining and instructing. It begins with repentance. Secondly, it goes on to believing. Believing what God has said in His Word and taking it to heart and thanking God for the goodness of the gospel, which brings about the forgiveness of sins and the transformation of your life so that you truly can be different. And thirdly, by fighting with all your might against the world and the flesh and the devil, those enemies that would lure you away. So keep in mind the three admonitions: repent, believe, fight. And we'll go into more detail next week. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these words which were preserved by your Spirit and protected from corruption, so that they might come down to us pure and pristine as they were given in the time of Moses. And so we pray now, Lord, that you will help us to be diligent students of the Word of God and apply it to our life. And we do pray it all now in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.